Alleluia, Christ is risen. Dear Zion, and most especially, dear Andromeda and Jackson and Henry, grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In John chapter 10, Jesus tells us who he is and that he has come to lay his life down for his sheep, for us. And he tells us that we belong to him. In this chapter, he tells us we are his own, is what he calls us. This is a tremendously comforting text. I've heard this text my entire life from as long as I can remember. I never stopped to consider the deep and profound comfort of those words, of what he said. Not until about 4 or 5 years ago, I finally paid attention to the words, just to the grammar, the tense in which it's being spoken, and I was filled with joy for what it said. I wish I'd known it my entire life. This is how good this news is. I've preached on Jesus' words here before. I haven't done so in a few years, I realized, so I just decided that today I'm going to preach on these exact words again. So pay careful attention to the words of Jesus, which he carefully tells us. He's very careful with how he says these words. He says this, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Jesus says, I have. And in the English, you read that, and that is in the present tense. And in the Greek, it is in the present tense as well. It's the exact same. That means that Jesus is saying, while Jesus is saying these words, he is saying, I already have. He already has other sheep, other people, other Christians. I already have them by the time he is speaking these words that aren't there yet. Now, in the same breath, he goes on to say, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. I must bring them also. The word there must is day in Greek, which is, it is a necessity. It is the most important thing for me. I have to go do this. I must bring them, and then they will listen. And in the English there, it is in the future tense, they will. And in the Greek, it is in the future tense as well. I know I occasionally will clarify things in the English text or say what the Greek says, but here I cannot do that today because what you read it in your Bibles is exactly how it is preserved. The tenses are correct here. And so we have this beautiful construction before us that Jesus says, I have other sheep, present tense, and yet he says, they will listen, future tense. What does that mean? This is astounding. Jesus is telling us here very plainly, very clearly, that there is a having of sheep that comes before the bringing of the sheep. So he has them before he brings them, is the point. Earlier in chapter 10, Jesus says something significant. Jesus said, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Here, Jesus calls them his own before he has them. He says, they are my own before I call out to them. They are already his own before he even called them. Even before they heard his voice, he says that they are already my own, is what he says. So this is not what is happening in the text. I'll give you a picture of what the text isn't saying. It's not that the shepherd is calling out just saying, come to me, everybody, anyone who hears my voice, somebody come to me. And then he's just hanging his head, kicking dirt, wondering if anybody is going to listen, wondering who from out there is going to come running towards him because they hear his voice. That is not what's happening. It's not that Jesus has come to this earth wondering who is going to believe in him or not, wondering who is going to be a Christian or not, or endure until the end, who will actually come to church or not, wondering who actually is going to make it to heaven as if he's up there nervously waiting and saying, "Really, I really hope for the best here. It's my intention, my desire that they would make it, but I just don't know. It's on them." That is not what's happening. In fact, what is happening is this. Jesus is calling out, he calls them, his own, the ones who are already his. He knows them already by name. His own are already his own. They hear, they know his voice because he already has them. Now, when you put this all together, you see something so profoundly consoling and revealing here. And it is this, that the sheep do not belong to the shepherd because they hear the voice of the shepherd. You get that? The sheep don't belong to the shepherd because they hear his voice. Rather, the sheep hear his voice because they belong to the shepherd. How in the world can that be? How can that be? How can Jesus already have sheep that haven't even begun to follow him, who haven't even heard his voice yet? How can Jesus have them already? Well, John chapter 17, verse 6, this is in Jesus' final prayer before he is arrested and betrayed. Jesus says in his prayer to the Father, he's speaking to his Father, he says, "Father, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me." John chapter 6, in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus talks to the crowds, and then he says these words. He says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." So the Father has them, and the Father then gives them to his Son, and therefore the Son has them. And this is how Jesus can have sheep even before he goes to get them, even before he brings them in. When Jesus says, "I have sheep that are not of this fold," the "this fold" there is referring to the people there in Israel, the Jews who converted and believed in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. There were Jews standing in front of him who converted and believed in him. There were some who didn't, but he's not talking about the ones who didn't. That's not what this text is about. He is talking about the ones who did. And he says, "There are ones standing here in front of me who do believe me, my words. But now," he says, "I have sheep that are not of this fold," here, right in front of me. And he's talking about everybody else not standing in front of him at that time. This means that he was talking about people in other lands. He was talking about Norwegians and Germans and Mexicans and Cubans and Italians and Swedes and Americans and the Irish and so on and so forth. Anyone from any place in this world who believes in him, he was referring to and talking about in this place at that time. And he is also talking about not only people from other lands, but people of other times, he says. So those not even born yet, those who would be born 100 years later, or 500, or 1,000, or 2,000 years later. He says, all those people who will believe in me, I already have them. Now, I will go get them, but they're already mine. Now, when the Lord Jesus said, "I have them," do you know who he was including in that list of people he has? He was including our dear sister, Laura Olauni, who died just last Sunday, who we've been praying for these several months, who is now forever with the Lord. She is with Jesus. But some 2,000 years before Laura was even born, she belonged to Jesus. That's what he says. He said he had her. In fact, long before Laura ever followed Jesus, before she ever believed in him, before she ever heard his voice or the gospel for the very first time, before Laura even knew that she belonged to Jesus, Jesus knew that she belonged to him and she was his own. He called her my own. Jesus had her because the Father had her from before the foundation of the world, as we see through the scriptures again and again and again. Open up the Bible, just read through it. You will see that this is no surprise. It was no surprise that Laura was in heaven last Sunday. The Lord knew that. He had planned that. He had called her his own. And he did everything to bring her there. She heard his voice when she heard the gospel, and she knew that those weren't ordinary words. She was convinced and said, these have to be the words of my good shepherd. These are the words of my God. And she followed them. But she followed them because she was his own. When she heard the precious and holy gospel of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of all of our sins, she knew in that moment she heard the voice of God, and she believed in him. Do you know who else was included in that list of Jesus's my own? It was you and me. All of you who are now hearing this word, who believe it, who apprehend it by faith, you know that you're hearing the voice of God. You hear this voice right now and you recognize it. You know whose word this is. You know this is not coming from a man. This is not coming from a person or any committee who wrote this up. This is coming from your dear Lord. You've been convinced of this by the Holy Spirit, by the gospel itself. And more than that, more than you knowing this, knowing that he is your dear shepherd, he is your dear shepherd. He knows you. And he laid down his life for you. Let me say this as plainly and clearly as I can. As clearly as I can put it. You don't belong to Jesus because you believe in his word. You believe in his word because you belong to Jesus. If I can, I want to drive this comfort down even deeper into your heart and soul. I know that you have all sinned and you fall short of God's glory daily, hour after hour. You know it. You just said it a few minutes ago at the very beginning of the service. You called yourself. You said, I am a poor, miserable sinner. And you said, what do you deserve for that? Temporal and eternal punishment. That's the just reward for my sins. That's what I deserve. I know you've done things that you are ashamed of, things that you regret, things that you knew were wrong in the time. But long before you committed any of those sins and filled yourself with guilt, and before you broke God's law, Jesus already had you. You were already his own. Before your drugs or drunkenness or addiction or fornication or adultery or abortion or fits of anger and rage or apathy or covetousness, before any sinful this or wicked that, Jesus said, I have you. You are mine. You are my own, and I will go and get you, and I will bring you to me, and I will lay my life down for you, and I will know, and you will know my voice when I speak this gospel into your heart. And Jesus not only had you before all of your sins, but he even had you before any of your good works, any one of them. Before you ever gave your heart to Jesus, whatever that means, you were his. Before you even read the Bible, before you started going to church, before you put a penny in the offering plate, Jesus here says, I already had you. You are my own. And the fact your sins are no impediment for Jesus, your good works are no incentive to Jesus to save you. He chose you by grace alone. You listened to his word and believed in him because you were his own and you belong to him. So let me ask you, does this sound, when you read this text, and you look at it in view of the rest of the scriptures all together, let me ask you, does it sound like your eternal destiny depends upon you and your commitment to Jesus? Does it sound like salvation depends upon your devotion to Jesus? Or does it sound like your salvation depends upon his devotion to you? Who is the driver here? Who is the motivated one? Who is the one on which everything rides? On whom does everything depend upon? It is Jesus. It is Christ. It is the Good Shepherd. You are on his shoulders as he carries you into eternal life. He goes to get you. You are the one who is responsible for getting lost. You're the one who gets yourself in the bad situation. He comes and he rescues you. And he brings you home again and again and again. You know, real quick. I had prepared an entirely different sermon for today. It was on the wolves, the sheep listening, the sheep straying, sheep running away from the hired hands, things like this, and all this other stuff. And I had prepared that sermon, and I realized it wasn't that good. So I woke up, and then I wrote another sermon. I wrote this one. And I was not planning on preaching this until about midnight last night. But this week, with all that is going on, with all of the trouble in the world, with inflation soaring through the roof, the country tearing apart at the seams, disaster left and right, bad news left and right, the trouble of our own hearts with sin and guilt and grief and shame and sadness, with loneliness, with death all around us, I decided that it would be best for us all simply to focus on the fact that Jesus calls us his own, that is what we need to hear the most, that we belong to Jesus. The Lord has you, and he has me. He has had us, and he will not lose us. Jesus says those words very plainly. He says, my sheep, they listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And then he says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. No one. I don't care what else is happening around you. If you know this, you know everything you need to know. Jesus gives us every reason, every single reason in the world to be certain of our salvation. And there are some days that you may be certain of your salvation, but there may be many more days when you're not certain of your salvation. And I grant that. And like you, I too, some days am not certain of my salvation. But even if you and I are not certain of our salvation, Jesus is. He is certain. He knows his own, and he says, I will not lose one of them whom the Father has given to me. When he was raised upon the cross, that's when he laid his life down for you. When he baptized you, that's when he called you by name. When he spoke this precious gospel into your heart, that he redeemed you not with gold or with silver, but with his holy and precious blood, that you would be his own, that is when you heard his voice and knew who he was. Andy and Henry and Jackson, you three are about to receive the Lord's Supper as you've confessed that it's not just bread and wine, but you will receive the very body and the very blood of Jesus. the very body and blood of Jesus that he opened and shed on the cross for you, that forgives all of your sins. For the first time in your life, you will receive this. You have studied the commandments. You have studied the creed at home and here in the church. You have studied the Lord's Prayer, all of the petitions, which is probably the most difficult part of memorizing the catechism. You've studied baptism. You've memorized all of these texts. You've studied confession and absolution, what it is that forgiveness, what forgiveness is, that confession has two parts. You've studied also the Lord's Supper, what it is. And you have confessed and said what it is. I have examined you. I questioned you. I tried to trick you sometimes, and you still and you still answered correctly. This is so deeply ingrained in you. Your parents have done a wonderful job teaching you. You should be happy that you have parents like this. Not all parents do this. Yours did. And now you have made this confession. It is good and it is clear and it is plain and it is strong and it is faithful to the scriptures. And now I cannot in good conscience continue to withhold the Lord's Supper from you guys. I can't. I want you to know, though, that before you ever heard Jesus' words or before you guys believed in him or followed him, you belonged to him. When you were a helpless little baby in your parents' arms and you were brought to the font, you belonged to Jesus and he called you by name. Before you learned the catechism, before you learned what Jesus did for you, he had you and you were his own and you always will be. The Lord is your shepherd, you are his sheep. And dear saints, here this day the Lord prepares before you a table with his own body and his blood, and he gives you himself, his body, to eat and to drink for eternal life. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.